Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
What's wrong?
Who is this girl at the store that you keep looking at? What is this interaction going on between you and her? You don't know
about
what I'm talking about.
I was in the store with you. Why would I be looking at somebody else?
You were looking at somebody else. You gonna continue to deny this? Let me
why
out
do we
the
have
car.
To keep going through this?
Yeah, why do we have to keep going through this? Let me out the car.
Well, welcome everybody to another episode of Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle. And I want to thank all my listeners from north to south, east to west, and all my people who are listening in from Hawaii, United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, Cameroon and Nigeria, Africa checking in, Peru and Pakistan, Singapore, France, Iraq, and baby, you know, some Australian. Let me not forget Australia for tuning in as well. You know, it's just wonderful when people all over the globe has learned about Unmasked and they hanging out with Sister on a Friday, because you know something, you can be doing anything else, but you're hanging out with the girls, me and Felicia. You know, our guest, Demetria Bowie, she's running a little late. I think she kind of got the time zone screwed up, but I got somebody trying to get her on point. But until that, you know, I want to introduce my lovely co-host, Felicia. How you doing, sweetie?
I'm doing great this Friday evening. Happy, and it's cold outside, and it was warm yesterday. The weather is bipolar, but I'm happy with it. I had on short sleeves.
How were you there?
No sleeves yesterday. Yes. No, yesterday I had on like a dress and flip flops yesterday. Today I had
on
boots.
Okay, so you're right.
Fur boots. It's cold, so I'm glad to be here without a cold. So. Trying to
yes.
keep up with the
weather. Anybody who decided to call in to 347-945-6003, just hit the number one key. That lets me know that you got a comment or you got a question that you wanted to ask. But anyway, the song that plays at the top of the hour was Boys to Men Down on Bended Knees. So let me just start right now. We're going to talk about something that we need to talk about because it's real talk, and it's talking about relationships. Now, Felicia, I know that's the background of your house because you don't want to just open live. I'm going to let you put your phone on mute to handle your business. But we're going to talk about relationships today and why they don't work and why some are successful. Now, you can look around, and the majority of people you see, there are three different types of relationships. Some are a good working relationship. Then there are some that are dysfunctional relationships, and then there are some that they just can't seem to get it together. And we need to figure out why that is. You know, me personally, I think the reason why some people can't get it together in their relationship is because they're not honest. You have to be honest and tell a person how you feel or what you feel about them. You got to just, you know, say, look, I'm not sitting here trying to make you feel worse. I'm your partner. I'm with you in this relationship. So I hope you value what I have to say, you know, and I hope that you don't be offended, because a lot of problems that we have, that us women and the guys out there, we don't like someone to tell us that we did something that's not right. You know, we immediately get our butt on our back and we get our mouth all poked out, you know. But you know, if you pick someone as a partner, then you should understand that that partner got your back when everyone else around is trying to throw daggers and try to throw you up under the bus. You know, so you got to learn how to trust. And trust is a big thing and a foundation of a relationship. And so it's very important. So I'm going to get Felicia's feedback on that. And Felicia, how do you feel about what's one of the major things that's needed in a relationship?
That you hit the key point for me. It would be, first things first would be trust. You have to be friends. I think when you start a relationship, you should be friends. And by growing that relationship, you have to, you know, trust comes about, hopefully. If you don't have trust, then it's kind of like a lost cause in my eyes, because if I can't trust you, then, I mean, what do we have? And it's about, and where's the loyalty these days? There's a lot of craziness going on and people having, and I don't knock anybody, do what you do. But open relationships and, you know, different things that people choose to do and want to bring into their relationship. And you got to, if you agree on these things, you have to be ready to take whatever comes behind it. See, because what happens, and we don't realize, You get to choose what you want to do, but you don't get to choose what your consequences are. And so a lot of times we don't count the cost.
Well,
so for me,
I got a guy on the phone. We got our honorary co-host, Tony from Baltimore, Maryland, on the phone. And it's good to have a male because we don't want nobody bashing, okay? So we man bashing. We're going to have a male perspective and a female perspective. And as soon as Demetria Bowie gets here, once she signs in, I want her to hit the one key so I'll open up her mic because I got all these different numbers on my switchboard, and I don't know which one is hers. So, Demetria, when you get here, darling, hit the number one key so I know that it's you. If not, the show must go on, and it will. So how you doing, Tony?
I'm doing pretty. Hey, baby, how y'all doing? I'm doing pretty good. Just lean back, that's all.
So, well, the question was to get you up on point was in relationships, what is the most important thing? And my thing was trust because, you see, three different kinds of people, people who are single and want a relationship, people in a good relationship, and people in a dysfunctional relationship, you know. And what's the reason why a lot of relationships don't work? And I said trust. Because people get offended when someone says something that's not positive, and they don't want to understand that that person that you should be in a relationship should have your back. So you should be, you know, willing to understand, you know, they ain't trying to hurt you, they're just trying to help you because other people are saying something behind your back, and they're just trying to put you up on the game. So, you know, my thing is about trust. What is it for you, baby?
Well, automatically, number one is if you're in a relationship, it should be built on trust and not lies. Because
Amen.
If it's not built on trust and you got a whole lot of games and lies going in between, then it's not much of a relationship. I find that, you know, men, you know, versus women, you know, have a lot of game. You know, some people will say, well, okay, this is what I want. This is how I want to carry it. But in the end result, they already know what they're doing, and it's not truly what they want to do. My thing is, tell me the truth. Don't make no decision for me. Let me decide if I want to deal with that. If I don't, then I can move on, you know. Because in any relationship that I get into, if I'm in it, I'm in it with all fours. You know, I ain't stepping off plate. I'm on plate. So
wait a minute,
if you're not on it,
plate.
If you're not on it with me, then you have to step off. You know.
Pump the brakes. Felicia, did you hear what Tony said? He's in it with all fours. So that means you're doing doggy style. I mean, why you say that? Or you just got both feet planted. I mean, why you say you're in it with all fours? I just had to stop you with that one, baby.
No,
what did it mean? Okay. Felicia, his call
right,
just dropped, but he'll call right back in. What? Did you catch what he said? He's in it with
you,
all
you,
fours. But Tony
you,
called
you,
him
look,
behind.
You. Well, mate, I don't know what he meant by all fours, but that was wide open.
I was thinking about doggy style or something, you know. And
oh
I was
God.
Trying not to take it there sexually. I was trying to keep it kind of clean tonight, but it just seemed like, you know, that kind of talk, he's going to pull us back in, you know.
well, we all grown, and when you talk about relationships.
We are grown, you know, if you can't handle
you can,
it, you know, it's in.
There you go. The content is for adults, and when you talk about relationships, and you know, sex is going to come up, and those things, because you just asked the question, what's the most important thing? For you, it was trust. For me, it was trust. And for Tony, it was trust. But for somebody else, it might be sex. So it might not be. We're not going to be able to get by that topic. You know, having
right,
a conversation
right,
about relationships
know,
anyway.
But you know, something
so,
to me, when is it only about sex and lust? To me, that's loosely using a term called relationship. I guess when you're interacting
mm-hmm.
with a person, it's called a relationship of some sort. But I would
mm-hmm.
like to think that if all y'all are friends with benefits, you know, somebody that you just want to have sex with, I would prefer you don't call it relationship, because relationships are for the people who are working at trying to make it work with this person. They're trying to come together to build a life, you know, co-mingle resources, trying to get to the next level. You know, that to me is a relationship because y'all want something together, you know. And so Tony has got back on a call. You know, Tony, we was clowning you because you said when you in a relationship, you go with all four. And I said, all four? are you down on your knees, doggy style? What is you saying? Or you mean both feet planted? You know.
That's what I'm right. I'm saying, but I mean, I'm in it for the minute. You know what I mean? But I don't want games with anything with me in a relationship because people, I mean, two people should know what they want to do, and the person should be told the truth, other than having decisions made for them. Because I don't like decisions made for me. I like to know what's on the line, where I can decide if I'm going to deal with that or I don't. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And I guess that's why I don't have nobody, because I don't do BS, period. I don't do that. You know, because I don't make decisions with people.
Think you don't have anybody because your behind stays secluded too much, and you don't go out much where people will see
you. I go out all the time. I play music. I do all the kind of stuff, you know. I be out all the time, you know, but... You know,
well, you got them
just,
groupies hanging around when you play music, because every time I see somebody playing music, there's a groupie somewhere.
The groupies are there, but that's what they are, groupies. So you know that ain't going to mean nothing. So you don't even
know
what it is.
You quit, run for the hills.
You might get it wet and come up with something you don't want. So shit.
I know that's right, because bacteria, you can't see it, man. Man, people need to be careful on the real talk. You know, we joking and stuff, but you know, AIDS, chlamydia, diarrhea, syphilis, all those things out there, herpes, and probably some stuff they probably don't even have a name for. You can't see bacteria unless you got it under a microscope. So you got to be careful. Put a glove on it or just be safe. Just don't be screwing everything that somebody try to give to you, because they might clean it up. But when you look under the sheets and look close under, you know, the clothes and the good looks and everything, it might be something going awry up in there.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing you talk about. That's another thing that I don't understand. Well, I do understand, but I feel like this generation is different. Like, it's really a different generation of people. Like, everything and everybody's so free. I don't mind the freedom to think and all of those things, the freedom to express yourself. But nobody takes the time. A good relationship, a healthy relationship needs to be cultivated. Just like when you go out and if you have a garden, you want to turn over the ground and, you know, get the soil right and plant the seeds, and then it takes water, and then you're going to need the sun, you're going to need, you know, the weeds to be plucked away and stuff so that you can get a good crop. If you don't take the time to cultivate the relationship, it's not going to be a good thing. And a relationship can be anything. I mean, you were saying a few minutes ago, but you can have a relationship where it's just, okay, it's about sex. Or,
that's called
an
open relationship.
Yeah, but it's still a relationship, though. I mean, no matter what,
you get to put
the twist on what it means for you. You know, you get to put that twist on whatever a relationship is for you. I mean, it might be different for, you know, me and you. We want that one person, you know, that gets everything, you know, from us. It's just that one-on-one thing. And then you have people that
want
to have the open. And yeah, want the diamonds. You want the, you know, it's nothing wrong with that. But you have some people that don't want to commit like that. But it's still, you know.
But my thing is with that, though, it should be told, you know, up front. You know what I'm saying? You know, a lot of people are not honest about that. Because if that's what I want, I can say that. I can say that to a lady. Look, this is all
baby,
I want. I just want to have. I just want to.
I agree with you.
Right.
I totally agree with you, because I've told guys before, you know, look, I'm looking for a husband. I'm not looking for somebody to jump up and down in the bed with. I'm not looking for no boyfriend. I'm looking for no man friend. I'm looking for a husband. And if you ain't trying to be my husband, get out of my way. So the right person can see me. And so far, praise God, I see a couple of people looking in my direction. But they ain't getting none until show me the ring. Then, you know, because you ain't getting none of this. I'm going to do things God's way first. I'm going to get my body to my husband. Yeah, it's no testing the waters, you know. I don't care what you might have did years before. You know, ain't no, I'm doing it different. Because when I did it my way, it didn't work out. I'm going to do it the right way this time, that God picked the right person for me, that God sent me the man of faith that, you know, is willing to put a ring on my finger, that God sent that compassionate man, someone, you know, because I don't want nobody who got issues that they can't control their anger. I don't want nobody sitting there trying to put their hands on my person. I don't want nobody sitting there trying to douse me with gasoline and light me up like a match, like I saw on the news just yesterday. You know, some people don't need to be in a relationship because they're stuck on stupid. They straight cray-cray, you know. And if y'all know y'all cray-cray, psychological help, because y'all don't need to be in relationships.
But you know what, Terry, this one thing, and I don't look at things the way that I used to. And one of the things that I used to think was that God would send this person, send that person. I don't particularly believe that God is going to send me a man. I believe we get to choose. He gave us free will. We get to choose. We just have to know what to look for. And we have to be paying attention. Because, see, then when we say God sent the man and then he be cray-cray like you saying, then we want to blame God. You send me that crazy man? No, you chose that crazy motherfucker. That's what it was. I do not believe that God will send us a mate. I don't believe that. I believe you pick and you choose what you want, and God will work with y'all where y'all at. That's what I believe. I mean, it's not everybody's belief, and I don't knock nobody's belief, but that's just my own. Because guess what? I was in a relationship, in a marriage for 17 years, and I thought God sent him too. He beat my ass for almost the whole 17 years. And I prayed and I prayed and I still was getting my ass whooped. It wasn't until I realized, hey, God ain't got nothing to do with this. Get your ass up and get out of this fucked up ass relationship. It ain't got nothing to do with God. So at the end of the day, you know, you gotta love yourself enough and know what it is you want. What is it that makes you happy? What do you want in a mate? Then sit down and ask that person, what is it that you're expecting of me? You know, let's talk about it, like you said, Tony, up front. Give me the opportunity to say yay or nay.
That's
what it is. We give God too. We put God too much in the equation, and then when it goes sour, then everybody's mad. And I don't do that. I stop doing that because we get to choose. He gave us free will. If we choose a nut, that's on us.
That's what it is. People choose a nut because they don't do the research, you know. And I try to tell my granddaughter this, you know. And I'm just gonna say my granddaughter because I don't want to be talking about nobody else's, but I can talk about my own. My granddaughter, you know, I should tell her, you know, she goes through too many guys in a year. And I say if a person was married and they had that same amount of husbands in a year, what would you think? She thought that was ludicrous. And I said it's the same thing. So this person, they are legit. Having these boyfriends, you're not legit. And if you took the time to get to know that person that you call your boyfriend and look past the good looks that you're attracted to, you will see that y'all are not meshing. You know, but she said, Grandma, I got it, Grandma. She keeps acting like she's getting tired of Grandma telling her, but you're the one who's sitting there crying, you know, in your room, miserable and everything. Did your mother tell me that you're miserable when it don't work out? Grandma knows. Grandma loves you. You ought to listen because it ain't worked out when you pick people for yourself, because all you see is light skin, good hair. They can either sing or rap. Boom, you in love. Because she wants
sometimes you gotta let him fall on
the way, like a guy who looks like your husband, you know, and that's all she needs.
Sometimes you gotta let people fall on their ass, because if we had to fall on our ass a few times before we got it too, you know. So at the end of the day, you go through those phases. When you young like that, how old is she? Like 23, 24?
23.
Yeah, I have a 23-year-old, and I also have a 23-year-old, a 27 and a 28-year-old, soon be 29, and a 21-year-old. And, you know, I tell them things, and I have three girls, and then my youngest is a boy. I talk to them. I told them. I'm real straight up and real honest with my kids. Sometimes I'm probably blunt with them, you know what I'm saying? But I think I've had a better outcome with them not doing certain stupid things because I was so blunt. But, like, I would tell my son and my daughter, don't put your mouth on nothing. They can get up and walk away from you. I mean, you don't know people. Don't you just be putting your mouth, and you don't want nobody putting their damn mouth on you like that either. You know what I'm saying? You can't, like you said, you can't see what's really going on. Sit back and get to know a person. Take the time. cultivate the relationship. Because you might not even, you meet people, that don't mean you're supposed to be with them and that's going to be your dude or that's going to be your girl. Maybe y'all supposed to just be friends. But if you don't take the time to look at it, get to know the person, then you'll never know that. Then you screw them and then everything is out the window. And then you find, you know, well, maybe that wasn't meant to be. You know, and now you're mad. And now you got another nigga or another dude up on, I'm sorry, my friend, y'all.
No. Say it how you feel it.
You gotta,
because this is a show for adults.
You said that way with your own passion. Yeah, but I don't want nobody to get offended. It's just a
no, do y'all offended hang up
the
phone.
But, okay.
Do
but
you the way you do you.
You got all these people. You steady building, hitting people under your belt. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm not going to put my folks out there, but somebody that I know is really close to me, you know, just lost their virginity maybe 6 months ago. And they've already had, I'll say 6-8 months ago, they've already had 4 partners. What the hell? You ain't been doing it long enough. You ain't even really fully broken in yet. And you don't have 4 partners? Well, you are broken.
In 6
you
months?
Have 4 partners. They done busted all the way wide open. In 6 months, though.
What? Oh, my God.
That's what I'm saying. That happens when you don't know who you are and you don't know what you're supposed to be doing. I mean, and then the person started late. You know what I'm saying? They started late. What, you trying to catch up with your friends? Fuck that. They got years on you. Just slow down, pump your brakes, one person at a time. I mean, come on, man, what is this? Tag me in. What's this, a WWE? What the hell? SmackDown? I'm just saying. What the hell?
Well, I'll tell
save
you what.
Keep your legs closed. Save your pussy for somebody to deserve it.
Well, we're going to have to take a small break, you know, and we're going to come back with Tony, our male advisor on the show tonight, and Felicia, and we're going to talk more about relationships.
Controversial.
With us.
Real. Unparalleled. Authoress Terry E. Lyle has written an autobiography entitled Broken. Terry talks about overcoming her personal battle with suicide, being homeless, selling and using drugs, and living the life of a swinger. She found that with prayer and her belief in God is real, that she was blessed to overcome all adversities to becoming the woman and authoress she is today. The book is $20 and can be purchased through Amazon, Kindle, createspace.com, and from her own personal website at www.terrylyle.com. It's yours today. And make sure you tune in to hear Terry on Unmasked each and every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time on blogtalkradio.com. The number 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. And remember, through God's grace and mercy, all things are possible, for He would not leave
thrown away. I'm finally getting back to what I used to be. Shared my pain with my family. Think I'm on my way. I can sleep at night. I don't reach for you when I wake up. No. But it's taking some time. Yeah. I can live my life without praying that we could make up. I'm moving on. I'm feeling strong inside, but sometimes I cry when I'm all alone with this heart of mine. Ooh, sometimes I cry. Oh, well, you've been gone for a long time. And you'll both be happy.
Yeah.
Been long enough for me to take a look around. I met a girl, we've been hanging out. She's been good to me. But when we're making love, she don't take me there like you used to. And it hurts when I love. Understand how to push you out, forget you, and let you go. Cause Lord knows I'm trying, but sometimes I cry. Baby, I've been hurting for a long, long time. Yes, I have.
All my listeners from north to south and east to west who's tuning in on a Friday night, because you could be doing something else. But you know something, you know, me, myself, I love a man who can sing. Now, my ex-husband, man, back in the day, he was tall, looking, my God, he could sing like Smokey Robinson, and my mother wasn't having that shit, man. He would come over the house. What y'all doing in that basement? Get your butt up here.
Oh,
he was protecting this. care. Man, my ex-husband waited 4.5 years before I lost my virginity. And the only reason I did that, 4.5 years later, because my stupid brother that went to school with him told me all the girls at school are talking to him, and you ain't getting him numb, so he probably going to meet somebody else. Oh, that was the worst decision in my life. It was a horrible experience. You know,
wow.
Oh, my God. Tried it one time, lost my virginity. After 4.5 years of him waiting, and then I was so scared I didn't want to do it no more. I could tell that my mother knew something was wrong because I was acting different and weird. And I said, you ain't getting nothing else unless you marry me. And he did just that, you know. And I'm going to let you know, too, you know, people need to understand it only takes one time before you get pregnant. So you got to be careful, you know, whether it's casual sex, afraid sex, whatever the case may be, you know, but don't do it. And I love my mother to death, man, because she always gave us virtues. And, you know, I ain't trying to put my mother on blast, but I just want to say this out, because I will never, ever forget this. And this is a story about my mother, and I'm sure she probably hates that I tell it, but I'm going to tell it anyway. For the women out there who got little girls, you know, I wish I'd be more like my mother, because my mother, every time when it got to the point, like I was like 13, you know, before I even lost my, I got my menstrual cycle, you know, I was late blooming and everything. I had a little small chest, you know. I just wasn't trying to grow up, you know. But anyway, after I had my menstrual cycle, like clockwork, my mother, when she do the laundry, she was checking. And if she didn't see nothing in them underwears, she was, ooh, woo, woo, what you doing? Y'all there, little boy? Ah! You know, you get the stuttering and shit because you get nervous, and be grateful that the next day that shit come down because she be checking.
Wow.
It made me so afraid of sex. That was one of the other reasons why I ain't want to do it, because she made me like, oh, don't do this, don't do that. I mean, I was so petrified about having sex that, you know, I was more afraid of her than I was enticed by him. So, you know, it was all good. And as far as he ever got in the basement, he could hug me and try to call himself, try to feel my chest. But, my mother come home from work, turn them damn lights on in the basement. She ain't having that shit.
Wow.
Oh, it was a mean taskmaster. So she, but I'm grateful for her. Because you know something, she gave me value. It lets me know what my worth is. Because, you know, even though I was scared when I was young, because she was just so adamant about don't do it, I realized that she prepared me to have value for myself. Because I don't want any and everybody getting this. That's why I've been waiting now for a few years. Because after I got into the world, my husband cheated, and I went out there in California, lost my mind for a minute. You know, when I came back, I decided that once I rededicated my life to Christ, that I'm not going to do it the wrong way. You know, I've had a lot of times to do things the wrong way, you know, and I'm not going to let nobody stop me from getting to heaven. You know, I'm going to make sure I get there, and I'm going to do it the right way with relationship. And if it's so be it, if I got to wait a few more years, then so be it. But I do know that God allowed Sarah to have a baby at 90, so damn it, he can give me a baby, give me a husband right here, right now where I'm at. So I'm just going to say that. But before I get to you, Felicia, I'm going to let Tony speak, because it's always good to hear perspective.
Male perspective. There you go.
Yeah. But I don't know, man. I mean, relationships to me is like, in this point in time, you have to put so much into relationships now. You know what I mean? And which is a good thing. You know what I'm saying? But when you put a lot of stuff into them, I'm not just saying for me, you know, women the same way. They put a lot in it, and they get zero in return. You know what I'm saying? So, but the thing about that is knowing who you're dealing with. You know, so a lot of people just got to have a woman or just got to have a man per se. They just can't be good by themselves. And that's what gets them in trouble, you know what I'm saying? Because I don't want a woman and be miserable. I don't want a woman and got to go through no bullshit. You know, I want a woman where me and her can gel together and you know, we can have some kind of peace and enjoy each other. I don't want a woman that I got to argue with all the time. And I don't want a woman, you know, that going to argue with me because I don't like to argue, period, anyway, you know, because I'll just shut up and don't say nothing, you know what I'm saying? And I don't like that. You know, I'm kind of thinking relationships are supposed to be a kind of thing that two people can just get into and enjoy one another without the bullshit. I always ask people, why do relationships have to be so complex? I don't understand why.
And it really don't have to be, because when you're little kids,
have to be, yes.
Little kids, you're honest. You're honest because you don't know how to be deceptive. And you can, Tony, you know, when people don't agree in relationships, a lot of people think that that's their cue, that it's okay to scream and hoot and holler and and act all nasty. But no, because you can disagree, but disagree calmly. You can say, well, look, okay, well, we don't have to discuss this. You know, and some people, they're not happy unless they are forcing you to understand their point of view. And if you are entitled to an opinion as well, you know, but you can talk to me because I'm not a dog. You ain't got to talk down to me. You ain't got to try to hurt feelings. You ain't got to belittle me because that's something which you aren't. You know, it's not making me a less of a person. It's making you less than one because you had to go through all of that to make a point by bringing me down. You bring yourself down.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, Felicia, what's your take on that, darling?
Well, I mean, I was listening to what y'all were saying. I mean, I can kind of agree with what you're saying. I was going in different directions. I was thinking about listening to what you were saying about, you know, the right person, you know, your mate as a husband or wife. My thinking on the whole marriage thing now, that I've been married twice and have gone through certain things and now I view things in a totally different way. I feel like, you know, I mean, and I can respect you waiting, Terry, and wanting to, you know, have the right person come your way because you're special and you should, you know, wait for that person that you feel is right for you. But we take marriage to another level now. My first wedding, I got married on a Sunday service at the church I was going to. We was inside of a school auditorium, okay? The second time I got married, I had the Cinderella story. I mean, everything except the horse. I had the Cinderella story. I was the princess with the crown. I did all of that stuff. But what does it all mean? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you do all of that, spend all that money, and then, you know, and a year you prepare, and then it's over in 15 minutes, and you spend all this money. But my point that I really was trying to make as far as, like, marriage, I look at marriage differently now. When we talk about marriage, I feel like, now, I can be wrong, and anybody can call me on it, but I don't look at marriage the same. We want to get married. We got to do the rings and all this stuff. And when you look at the Bible, when God talk about marriage, Adam and Eve, he put them together, and they didn't become one. And you notice, you don't become one, or the marriage is not even legal until you have sex with that person. Right? I feel like God don't equate marriage to trading a ring. It's whoever you're having sex with. Because if you think about it, think about this. When Jesus met that woman at the well, do you know the story?
The Samaritan woman.
And he told her that she had many husbands, but she was a prostitute. She was a prostitute.
Mm-hmm.
She was a prostitute. And so I feel like God equates marriage with whoever you having sex with.
I pump the brakes. No.
Yes. Let me
clarify that part.
Adam, okay, go ahead. We're going to go back and forth in this one, Terry, because I don't believe it like that.
But Felicia, people are listening, and I ain't trying to steer them wrong about the Bible.
When he met the Samaritan woman at the well,
he asked her, he said, how many husbands do you have? And the reason why he asked her that is because he knew that she was messing around. He wanted to bring it out of her. She came there at the noontime when it was hot, and otherwise had came early in the day because she was too embarrassed. But that doesn't, and that's not what your God is saying.
Terry,
that it's okay to have a bunch of husbands.
That's not what I said.
Okay.
See that? And this, We going back and forth. We conversing. You said we can say we want to say, right? You said we can express something. And I'm not trying to steer anybody wrong either. I studied that Bible and that word for most of my life. I was studying to become a minister. I know the word backwards and forward. And we took it. We take it different. And you know, everybody take it their way. But what I'm saying to you, think about this. Even if you go back to Genesis, when God created everything, he had Adam there. He named everything. He gave him control and dominion. But he saw that it wasn't good that man be alone. So he seen that Adam needed a companion. So he put him to sleep, took a rib, and made a woman. You know what I'm saying? And when they had sex, the two became one. And he told them, replenish the earth, you know, to do it. Let, you know, have kids, multiply, do all of that stuff. Nobody jumped the broom. Nobody's changed the ring. The only thing that happened was they had sex. That's what happened. And let's keep it 100.
They didn't have a child. And so after that was thrown out of the Garden of Eden.
I'm talking about the kids. Don't have nothing to do with it. We can all have kids. We can be married and have kids. We don't have to. I had kids and I wasn't married. You know
but
what I'm saying?
Mindset, what do you think about anything? It was when she ate the apple. That's when her mind became open. I believe that had not she ate that fruit from the tree of good and evil, that she would have just been playing around with Adam. I don't think they would even touch each other because they didn't have that kind of mindset.
No, they did. From the beginning, God gave them direction. He told them, be fruitful and multiply. That was the direction he gave them. They had already had sex before she ate from the tree. We don't know if it was an apple or whatever it was, but the tree of life. She ate from that tree, and only thing that came that happened when she ate from that tree is her eyes came open, and she knew good from evil. That was the only difference. But her and Adam had sex. God, when he woke Adam up, his purpose was for this woman to be his helpmeet. Help me, what that means. Help me to me, whatever his need is.
Yeah.
They had sex. And God never, they didn't exchange no rings. God ain't had to jump no broom or nothing like that. And that woman at the well, she was a prostitute. And Jesus said, you have many husbands. You have many husbands because she was a prostitute. It was because she was sleeping with different men. That's my take on it. I'm not trying to tank the Bible or anything.
No,
I'm not trying to make anybody believe any different.
But that's true. You know, when he was asking about that, about her husbands, he said that in relationship to see if she was going to be honest. And then he said, I'll offer you living waters. But, you know, the thing is, Adam and Eve, you know, in Genesis, if you go back to Genesis, it doesn't say that there was sex until after they was kicked out of the garden. So
it didn't say that, babe. It didn't say that. It didn't say that. Where you see that? It didn't say that.
But you said
they
were having sex.
I didn't hear that either. I didn't hear that.
It never said that they had didn't have sex until after he was kicked out of the garden. They was kicked out of the garden. They already had kids and everything. But God's first instruction was
Felicia, darling, they didn't have Abel and Cain until after they was kicked out the garden.
But hold on, okay, let's go here then. How about Abraham? How about all these different great men in the Bible? They had more than one wife. They were going and screwing all these different women. And it was okay, but it was okay with God. It was okay. God's the same today. Yesterday and forevermore. So whatever was going on back then, it's still. Why do you think you got polygamous things? It's just about what you choose.
Okay. Statement. When you said God yesterday, today, and tomorrow, that means that God's policies are immutable. They will not change.
They will not change.
When Jesus came to earth in the womb of Mary, it's a new covenant that was made with man. The Mosaic law of Moses and Abraham and Jacob, they were voided. They became history. The New Testament brung in the era of putting the law of God in your heart, which means in your mind. You know, so we're not going to talk about that because you can't take one thing and make it a fit a certain thing because Mosaic law.
I'm never going to do that.
I'm talking about what the Bible says. When Jesus came on the scene, you go to Ephesians or wherever, Corinthians, it tells you that. You know, that's when the other stuff became history. And the book of Acts reiterates the history of the Old Testament. We're not bonded by that of the Old Testament. That's just something there, but we learn what we have lost, what we've been through. The New Testament is how we're going to work here now on earth to get saved. You know,
but they still had more than one wife in the New Testament. It was still the same thing.
I understand what you're saying.
Jesus didn't come to do away with the Old Testament either. He just came to improve on it. That's it. So we don't have to sacrifice poor little animals anymore. He was the ultimate sacrifice. I understand all of that. But what I'm saying is we're taking it so much.
Because we had screwed up so
bad. Exactly. Back then, before Jesus came, they had to sacrifice animals. They little baby lambs and stuff like that. Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. Once Jesus gave his life, once God gave us Jesus to give his life, then it did away with that.
Okay.
But hold on.
Well, we were getting ready to hang up, and I see that my guest has finally came on the line 2 minutes ago. So, yes, we're going to open up, and we're going to switch it back to her. So, Demetria Blue, where have you been?
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, hey, how are you?
Hi, Demetria.
Hey, y'all, how you doing?
We're doing great.
Amen.
Yeah, what happened?
Am I an hour late?
Yes.
It's 7:20 Eastern time on my time.
No, it's not, darling. It's 8:20.
Wait a minute.
Eastern time.
Wait a minute. I'm on Central. I'm sorry. Yes, it's 7 Central. That's what I got in my inbox.
Well, I don't know where you got it from because I gave y'all a breakdown of every time zone. Eastern, Central, Mountain, and Pacific, what time that you're on so you know which one to call in on.
Okay. Well, I apologize. I thought it was 7:20 on my time.
Well, anyway, we're going to get back to you, and we're going to talk about Demetria. She wrote 15 books in 2 years and only 31. And her first book was entitled Refuse to Lose. But we want to first start off by talking about some of the things that happened before you got where you are today, from homelessness, suicidal attempts, dropout, and much more. Tell us about how you came up.
I began to write in 2009, and as when we had the conversation last time, I talked about how I was suicidal in my teen years. And when I began to write my first book, that's when when I began to write my first book, that's when I finally
Well, caller, she has dropped off. I don't know. Maybe she's playing with her phone, but we have lost her. We lost
Tony. Wow.
So
I'm still here.
Anyway, I know, baby. And you still got
maybe
the caller.
Maybe she'll pick back up.
Huh?
I said, maybe she'll pick
they'll
back
call
up. Maybe
back
it just dropped
in, you know. Yeah, but
I think that's awesome. She wrote 15 books in 2 years?
In 2 years. And
she is awesome.
I want to find out, are those 15 books published? Because I know, and as you know, it's not cheap to publish books. So I want to know, did she publish the 15 books, or are they just manuscripts sitting at home? Because I can have a bunch of manuscripts home, too, that ain't published. Because financially, you know, it ain't that easy.
Well, hopefully she'll call back in so we can, you know, ask her those questions. Because I think that's awesome that she wrote all that. She was able to write 15 books in that short time because it's a lot of work. You know, Terry, it's a lot of work to write a book.
Yeah, you know, the worst part, too, is editing. I can't stand the editing. Oh, my God.
That process is a little tedious. So I'm hoping she calls back in so that, you know, we can finish her interview.
Her and Tony dropped off, you know. I guess he felt like his job was done. He was holding down the fort until she got on. Tony, if you're listening, I appreciate you because you always.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we appreciate you. So,
yeah. Anyway. Just to go back real quick while we're waiting and hoping that she comes back on, I just want to clarify this. I don't want anybody to think that my thinking or the way that I perceive things is right. I'm not saying my way is right. I'm not saying my way is wrong either. I'm just saying that's the way I perceive it. You understand what I'm saying? Not to take away from the scriptures or try to add to the scriptures. I would never do that. I'm not foolish enough to try to do that. But my understanding is different, you know, is different from a lot of people, you know. But a lot of people believe the same way that I do. So, I mean, but I didn't get that from anybody. This is for my own study time and, you know, my own personal time that I've, you know, put in with studying the Word of God and stuff. Because, you know, people do have the tendency to try to make things, you know, fit what they or tailor fit what they want to do, you know, with their own lives, you know. So I'm not in agreement with that either. You know, you don't just do something because you think you can and it's okay. No, I mean, but I just wanted to clarify that because I don't want it to look like we're bantering back and forth about anything. At the end of the day, we want people to have substance when they come and they're getting what, you know, they're getting what they need. And able to kind of put out what they, you know, what they
mm-hmm.
need. So that's
well,
it.
Yeah, the Bible is, you know, that's one thing. My relationship with Christ and things about the Bible, I immediately, you know, I get defensive because I'm very protective of, about Christ. So I apologize if I was getting a little stern with you, but we got our caller back on the phone, Demetria.
Good.
I'm so sorry. I was in a bad area. I'm so sorry.
It's okay,
I'm thinking about that. So sorry about
it's okay.
that.
But you were
well,
saying.
Well, you were telling us about when you was.
Okay. Yes. I wrote my first book in 2009, and when I wrote that first book, it was definitely I was very fearful when I wrote that first book. It took me 5 years to release my autobiography because of fear. Growing up in an abusive home where my father was abusive to my mother, he beat my mother. My mom was never at home with me when I got out of school. I was ended up failing the first grade and the fourth grade and being suicidal because I felt like I did not belong in this world. So I'm like, why am I here? My mama always called me ugly. She always called me the B word, mother elf, all that stuff. And so I was almost raped by my uncle, witnessed by my mother at the age of 16. And about 2 days later, she told me, don't you ever say nothing. You know, leave it alone. It's the past. It's a week later, and she's already saying, hey, it happened in the past. Don't ever talk about it. And
yeah.
I remember the day when I said I couldn't take it no more. If everything that was inside of me, I was bitter, I was angry. I couldn't even be in a relationship with a man. I couldn't focus. I couldn't do anything because all of that was still inside of me. And I have now never talked to anyone about it. And so that day I said that I was going to write about it or I was going to commit suicide. And that day I just got the strength to write that book, but still didn't release it till 5 years later because I was in so much fear. Those words that my mother kept saying to me, hey, what stays in this house, what goes on in this house, stays in this house. And she was serious about that thing.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, she was very serious about that thing. So I ended up releasing it in 2014, and what I was fearful of ended up happening anyway. My family wanted to physical fight me. My mother didn't talk to me for about 2 months. The man who tried to molest me, they were saying he wanted to sue me. It was a lot going on for that first year. I only sold maybe 10 books.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes. And I only sold like maybe 10 books that first year. But I kept going. I kept writing. I wrote another book called Mary Still Alone. I wrote another book called Has God Forgotten Me? And I wrote another book called 365 Days of Inspiration and Motivation. And then I wanted to start a magazine for women. Being that I overcame so much, I wanted other women to speak out just like I spoke out. And I didn't want them to be in fear and in bondage like I had been for so long. You know, a lot of people in the family, in our family, he actually raped them. And one girl had a heart attack on the road. And because I believe there was so much going on in her life and she couldn't take it, had somebody else commit suicide. And basically, I wanted to start this magazine called Empowering Women to Speak Out. I'm on my fourth edition. Fourth edition just got released today. And I just wanted other women, thank you, and I just want other women to definitely speak out about their past, not for revenge, but to find forgiveness and to forgive themselves and definitely move on so you can move forward and start walking in the purpose and start walking in the purpose that God has called you to walk in.
Well, Demetria, let me ask you a question. You wrote 15 books in 2 years. Are all of these 15 books published or books that you haven't published?
Yeah, they're books and magazines together. Yes, they're all of my books and magazines together.
Well, how the heck do you afford all that? Because I don't know. With my
It was a sacrifice. It was a sacrifice. It was something that I wanted, and I'm like all my life of everything that I have been through. And then when this God brought me out, I just felt like, you know what, I want to go forward. You know, light bill was paid late sometime. I quit my job to do this. Now I have my whole house full of writing books, doing my cosmetics, my lotion, magazines, things like that. So after I came up out of what I was going through, I'm like, Lord, I'm going for it. I'm running with this, you know.
Thank
so God. I definitely inspire and want other women to definitely run in their purpose, not to let any man, nothing, hold them back for walking in their purpose, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good feeling.
Well, let me ask you a question. Are your magazines the kind that you can get from a hard copy, or are those the ones that's online magazines?
Basically, you can actually get a hard copy, and they're on online. They're both.
I prefer hard covers. You know, I don't like to do all that online.
Yeah,
reading,
I do.
Like
when it comes to magazines, I love to sit down and read. I've always loved to get a magazine.
Yeah.
Like a book, you can do on Kindle or something like that, but a magazine I physically love to hold.
Me as well. My co-host, Felicia, she has a question for you, and then we're going to take a break after you answer that question.
Okay.
First, I just want to commend you for, you know, having the courage to come out because it is hard. We have similar situations, but there's so many women. It's millions of women that share the same story, but a lot of times we are not allowed to talk about it. So you said that somebody had a heart attack. Was that somebody that was in your family that happened to?
That was my uncle's wife.
Wow.
Another uncle's wife. Yeah, he didn't rape a lot of my cousins and things like that. They see the magazines. They see me talk. No, he's not. He's walking around. I seen him at the post office the other day. I spoke to him. I said, hey, and I kept walking. He was just But they're afraid to definitely speak out. They're not going to speak out. Basically, they see me on Facebook talking about it, and they see me writing about it and things like that, but they're more like, you know, their mom told them, hey, what goes on in this house, now they're fine, you know, they have their job, they say things is exactly how they want it. So right now, nobody's speaking out but me, and he didn't rape about 5 or 6 of us. He didn't get a chance, but the other ones, he actually did.
That's
the biggest
misconception.
Why didn't they bust him up inside his damn head?
I mean, that's the big thing, and I don't say African American families, that
mm-hmm.
when something happens in your house, you're taught from a small child, whatever goes on in the house stays in the house. And
mm-hmm.
Tyler Perry said it better than anybody. If it hurts you, you need to talk about it, basically.
Yes,
and I mean,
yes.
you being a voice box for those women in your family, I commend you for that. For
Thank
having
you.
The courage, because maybe some of the other ones might eventually start talking about it, because it's unhealthy
mm-hmm.
to have to
yes,
live with
I mean,
that.
It's very unhealthy. It's very unhealthy. Very.
Okay, well, Demetrius, I wasn't joking. Has there been any men in your family to stand up and go bust him upside his damn head? Because
well,
I'm sure
girl.
You,
my cousins. It's my cousins.
Fathers and brothers, you know, and you know, what about, you know, fine, you ain't got to tell nobody outside the family if you don't want to, but how you want to let somebody touch your daughter or your niece or your cousin, and you're supposed to be a man in the family, and you don't do shit? I ain't understanding that.
Yeah, yeah. It was nothing done. It was no police was called. It was nothing done, and I felt like for a while, I felt like it was my fault, because basically when he came in the house to give my mom something, and my mom was in the room, and I was on the couch. And when he came back up, he said bye, and he began to tap me on my shoulder. And then he went down to my breast, and I was like, and then as soon as I turned quick, he put his hand over my mouth really fast. And that was the first time I ever felt how strong a man is, you know, more than a woman. And I was trying to go, and basically he's kept taking his hand down in my breast. He was eventually going to take my shirt off, but I finally started screaming, and my mom ran in the living room, and she said, "What are you doing?" And she called my auntie. That's her husband, but we told to call him uncle. But that's my auntie's husband, and she called and told my auntie, and my auntie and them said, "She's lying. She's a big liar," and I ran to go get the knife, and by the time I got the knife, he was running to his truck, and then my sisters came over, and they said, "Sorry that happened to you." And then I heard them whispering. I will never forget them whispering. They were saying, "Well, you know, he did it. He did it to such and such, such, and he did it to our cousin." And they was whispering. But, you know, my auntie and them said they were sorry. No police was called. My auntie and them was just like, "She's a liar. She's lying." And
you know, here you a victim, and they sitting there trying to put that on a child. That pisses me off, man. I'm glad I'm not in that family, because, you know, I would have had a different reaction, because I would have got a 2x4 or a gun, depending on how old I would have been at the time. But I would have went for it, because I ain't never been a punk, not even as a kid. You know, you want to do something to somebody
mm-hmm.
in my family, come on, bring it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
It's
unfortunate. Yeah, you know, and still to today, because he has money. See, he was brought up in a family where they have, like, they have, like, millions of dollars, and so my mom, she's still the type now. She speaks to him, "Hey, how you doing?" She still caters to him, because she's like, "For my birthday, you know, they
money.
Want the money." Yeah, they, you know, he give her little $50, $100 or something. They want the money. So it's kind of like I look at that and I say, if I wasn't a strong woman as I am today, that would still hurt me, and I would still be mad at my mom, and I would not forgive my mom. But I have forgiven her and him, and I'm like, you know, I believe that it's all in God's hands now, you know, of her just saying, you know, "Come over so I can cook for you." And I'm going to tell you, I don't understand, but, you know,
wow.
I still don't understand, but, you know, I got peace.
So, darling, you are the victim. You did nothing wrong, and that's the problem when people are molested as children. For some reason,
mm-hmm.
they take on that problem on themselves. And they
oh,
think it's
yeah.
something wrong, or they looked a certain kind of way. It's never a child's fault, because the adult is supposed to act like an adult. When you're under
mm-hmm.
18, you're a child. And even
mm-hmm.
at 18 through, like, you know, early 20s, you're still a child, because your mind
mm-hmm.
has not been mature enough when somebody is years older than you. It's never your fault. and never hold that. You know, at least that made you a better parent to your own children, because let them know they can talk to you about anything. And I'm so sick and tired of people, when their kids are molested or whatever, they got to audacity sit there and make that child feel guilty, or they act like you done did something wrong. Who gives a shit what the family know about it? The family ought to know this buster ain't no good.
No,
he ain't no good. Keep your kids away from him, because, you know, it might not be that far a stretch from molesting girls to tampering with boys. You never know. Somebody might have a sexual addiction. You know, they just want to do whatever. You know, you don't know that they ain't going to switch from little girls to little boys.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Either way, it's just terrible.
He's going to come back in 2 and 2.
All right.
Eventually, the truth will come out of the darkness for everyone to see.
Hello? Hey, it's Mike. Hey, how y'all doing? How y'all doing? Oh, yeah, everything's good. Everything's good. It's just been really good. Sorry I haven't been here. Oh, I haven't forgotten, but I will be there next week. Right now.
There are times in your life when your faith will be challenged.
Hey man, I want to share something with you. I accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He's been really wonderful to me. Don't you agree?
I feel like I'm my own God. But things that's been happening to me, I feel like I've been making those things happen.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me you don't believe in God?
Well, I haven't seen it.
The truth can come in shocking form.
Who is that, man? Oh, hell no. I know ain't nobody up in my house when I'm at work all day, going day.
Terry E. Lyle. Check out her website and on Blog Talk Radio every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Thank you.
Welcome back to Unmasked with Officer Terry Miles. And that tune is Girl by the group Time. Hope that tune takes you back in the time. And I want to thank all my listeners from north to south, east to west for tuning in. And we have our guest, Demetria Bowie. Bless her heart. She kind of like forgot the time zone. She had them mixed up, so she came in an hour late. And she all she did was penalize herself. You know, we may wrap up in about 10 minutes. So just to be fair with you, Demetria, we want you to share what you want to say about, you know, awareness for women who's been battered. Give the titles of your 20 books now. My Lord, girl, you my hero.
Wow, 20 books, girl. I'm telling you.
You my hero. It's 2 damn years ago. Oh, girl, let me bow down. Let me bow down.
Right. Wow.
You're doing it.
Good work.
You know, you want the titles of all the books?
Yeah, but I need to say real quick to everyone else listening, it's also being broadcast on TuneIn.com and Universal Collectives. And last week we made number one. So, you know, if you want to listen to Unmasked, we also want to do two other sister radio shows, Universal Collectives Networks and TuneIn.com. So we all over the place. So give out first, because we're going to wrap it up around 9.
Okay.
And tell us what you want to say about abuse and women being battered, any words of wisdom. And then, you know, you talk about your 20 books and how they can get it. And then we can reschedule another time for you to come back.
Okay.
And I bet you this time you'll be on time.
I will be on time.
It's okay, dear. She got the time zones
mixed up. I got the time zones mixed up.
That's okay.
Going to California, right. Everywhere, I'm always getting times mixed up. Lord, I just hope I don't be late for my own wedding. But
fine.
I was calling you. I called Victoria. I said, voicemail is full. Can't leave a message. Oh, Lord. And you're not even my friend on Facebook, so I couldn't even send your inbox.
Oh, my gosh. We're not friends on Facebook?
No, you did not, darling. My feelings with you. Uh-huh.
But on abuse and on abuse and domestic violence, I would definitely say that growing up, I never been in a physical abusive relationship, but I watched it. I watched it. My mom, like her even getting cut up on her arm side. I watched my dad do so much to her, and then it seemed like it's going down the line. Now my sister, you know, like it's going down in the family line. And it's a hard thing to watch. And I would definitely give this advice to women. Is I know a lot of women have low self-esteem. They feel like they deserve it. And a lot of women get into these relationships because they don't know any better. And they feel like, hey, I watched my mom get abused. Hey, this is what I'm supposed to be in. Or if he hit me, that means he loved me. And I have clients, and they feel this way. I'm a life coach for battered women, and they feel this way. They really feel like, well, if he's not fighting me, he don't love me. They feel this way. And I would definitely say that somebody hitting you and abusing you, that is not love. And we definitely, we have to realize that for ourselves.
Absolutely.
We have to get that for, yes, we have to realize that for ourselves, because I can sit here and counsel you and minister to you all day, and I ain't got no problem doing that, you know. And but one, you have to get it in your head, because if it's not in their head that they don't deserve it, they're not going to listen to you. But definitely prayer is very important. And I say that, I tell women, you deserve the best. You do deserve the best. You deserve the best out of life, and you do not deserve somebody abusing you or being in a domestic relationship, domestic violence relationship. So.
I agree with you. I agree with you, you know. And, you know, people have been beat down so hard that sometimes people don't believe that they are worthy. You're a human being, darling. You're not an animal. If someone tells you that you're no good and you're useless, nobody else will want you, that's a lie. They're telling you that to keep you trapped. If they try to alienate you from your family, that's a trap. If they try to slot how much time to take you go to the store and back, that's a trap. That shows you this guy some issues. It ain't you. And when they try to tell you there's something bad about you, no, they are dysfunctional, and you get out.
Yes, they are mentally ill. A lot of those men are mentally ill, because a lot of them, if you realize, a lot of men have grown up in abusive homes, and that's why they're abusive, because sometimes they have watched their father abuse their mother, so that's all that they know. You know? And they're mentally, a lot of guys are mentally ill. A lot of guys are mentally ill. And in women's, we definitely got to get out of those toxic relationships. You got to get somewhere with somebody where there's peace, and then with the one that God has called you to be with. And, hey, if it takes some time being in the house alone, eating by yourself, going to the movies by yourself, do it. Do whatever you have to do to keep your peace, to keep your joy, and to keep, you know, not have low self-esteem.
Right.
You know, because sometimes it starts with that they don't see themselves worthy.
Right. And it's just sad, you know, because, you know, abusive person is a person who needs to have control, because when you sit there and you bang on a woman and you sit there and dog her out and make her cry, you ain't a man, because a man is supposed to uplift a woman. A man is supposed to be supportive of that woman.
Mm-hmm.
A man is supposed to be able to listen to that woman's heart. A man is supposed to tell that woman she's beautiful when she looks like a damn troll. A man is supposed to sit and make her feel like she 100 plus. A real man will do that. And these guys that are old, to be considered legal age, because they're older than the age of 21, that don't make you a man, because you're biologically male. A man is a state of mind. A real man is a state of mind. You are a male person, but a real man ain't going to treat you like that. That's a punk. That's a punk. You know something, punks don't scare me, because you know something, they ain't Superman and they ain't bulletproof. Come at me if they want to. I got something for the ass.
Punks jump up and get beat down. I don't know how to act. Yeah, but seriously, that's a big issue. And the sad thing is, too, I'm a domestic violence survivor. It's almost there's no help for women, women out there. It's not until a woman gets beaten real bad or killed that something's done about it. I mean, it's like it's been a blind eye to this thing for so many years. And it's sad. And it goes both ways. You got men that get abused, too, you know. So, I mean, it goes both ways. So,
yeah,
I commend you for the work you're doing.
Amen.
Well, tell us about your books and how much they cost, baby, and how can people get a hold of you?
Okay, well, as you know, I have 4 Empowering Women to Speak Out magazines. I have The Refuse to Lose. I have the novel, The Day I Said Hello, I Should Have Said Goodbye. That's the novel. And there are 2 books, To Refuse to Lose.
And the other one has God Forgot Me. You know, as we go through so much in life, go through a divorce, somebody pass away, or just the ups and downs, this journey we call life, you know, and we feel like God has forgotten about us because of everything we have gone through, but he hasn't. And then 365 Days of Inspiration and Motivation. My books are $9.99. Just my autobiography is $15. It's on my website.
Which one is your autobiography, Refuse to Lose?
Yes, Refuse to Lose is the autobiography, and I have another one called a Proverbs 31 Woman. And the other one, Finding Peace, Being Single, is talked about after my divorce. The book before it was Married and Still Alone, and Finding Peace, Being Single, a Proverbs 31 Woman, Discovering Your Purpose. And the other one called The Angels I Saw, and to talk about when I was homeless, and it talked about the angels I've seen when I was homeless. And the poetry book, Bedroom Conversation, it's about me in the bed just writing notes to God and telling him exactly how I feel, just being truthful, because I know a lot of people, even in church, like, they're scared to be truthful about anything. You know, most people will say, you know, how do you feel about being single? Most women, I'm happy being single, just Jesus and me. You know, and I know a lot of women, they're lying.
Tell you that that's a lie.
Yeah, they're lying. And I've just become, just that poetry book was just about me being honest with God. Like, I'm not going to settle for less, but if that's not how I feel, like, I'm going to tell you that, like, that's not how I feel. You know, so it's just a book of just being honest with yourself and stop lying to yourself. So these books are on Amazon, too. So my books are between $9.99. Just the autobiography is
$15. Okay, cool.
Okay,
girl, I'm gonna check it out.
So what
Thank
I want
you
to do, I want you to befriend me and Felicia Fuel, my co-host, on Facebook, and we'll
okay.
get you back another time, and we'll discuss something that's about your passion, about women being abused, because that topic never grows old, especially looking in the media. And people, there's a bunch of nuts out there, you know, and when you find a good man, you better hold on to him, because if I see him, I'm going to steal him from you if you ain't treating him right. I'm just saying. I'm just putting it out there. Don't do your job. I will. Okay? You be in there where you want. Don't do your job. I can be the cleanup woman. Hey.
Lord.
Well, you know, we're supposed to you know you want to say information, but we can just stay home. Well, is there a shout out you'd like to give, darling? And then we'll give Felicia give a shout out, and we're gonna take this thing home. We done had a busy week, all the way around, and this is gonna be an hour show, and we done went over about 2 minutes.
Okay.
We got a time.
Shout out to some of the girls who that's holding on with me on this journey that I'm going on, and Elise Dobbs.
Hey. Give out their names.
Huh?
How about their names? Give them a personal shout out. Say, hey, girl,
yeah,
what's up? Vaughn or whatever their name may be.
Yes, Elise Dobbs, Kimberly, Don Felton, and those three ladies have been sticking by me, you know, on my journey of me having, not having, and discouraged, you know. They've just really been friends. So I'm really thankful to have them in my life.
And we're thankful, yeah. thankful to you, for all jokes aside, for you being here, because you're a dynamic woman to have done
Thank
all
you.
That you have done, man. You know, I'm truly impressed. You know, I'm making jokes and I'm laughing and shit, but
well,
you know,
you're
real.
Good.
Yeah, you're a dynamic woman, and we definitely want to get you back down here again to talk
okay,
about.
Okay. Yeah.
So Felicia, darling, there a personal shout you want to give, baby?
I just wanted to say thank you to our guests again for coming, you know, on. And,
thank you.
I'm happy waiting for you to come back so that we can really dive into what you're doing. Because that's
come back
really...
on time. I'm going to get it right.
No. Don't talk too hard on yourself.
Can we call my ass, honey?
Don't be too hard on yourself. Don't be too hard on yourself. It's okay. We all kind of can get behind on things, and the days of time to go back so quick, you look up and you don't even realize the hour's gone back. So thank you for coming on and sharing what you do. It's a big passion of mine as well to empower women, because like I said, we all walk our own journeys, but we all seem to be walking on the same path. And just some of us are brave enough to speak out than others, and I'm grateful that you chose to speak out. So I don't feel alone in my, you know, on my journey, because I speak out now. I went through a lot, too. So I'm grateful for you. And, Terry, you know, as always, a pleasure just being with Terry and working with Terry and talking to Terry and just letting Terry
be
Terry.
You know, you're always welcome to put an article in my magazine, your business, all of that. So I have all of
that
available.
I'm doing that because Felicia got a book out, Silhouette of a Christian Scripture.
I didn't really want to say anything yet because it's not locked in, but my book might be becoming a short film, and I hadn't even told Terry yet, and I'll tell Terry everything first, but I got a phone call and talked to a guy who got his hands on my book and kind of really just excited. But I'm a little scared, so I'm waiting to see what I'm going to talk to Terry about it a little bit more. But just trying to see what's going to happen. But, I would love to put something in your magazine, even if it's not about my book, just anything about, you know, telling women where to go or how to get to, you know, the help that you might need, you know, those kinds of things. Because I lived in a shelter for battered women with my children. So I go back and I speak to these places. So just want to give back to that community, because the community, unfortunately, is a large amount of people out here that just going through the same thing. So shout out my family. Y'all know who you are. I love you, my boo thing, all that good stuff. So, yeah.
Go back in the time, we're going to go with the Independents. Y'all might not know who that is. That's an old group back in the day. And this is a tune that was a big hit then. It's one of those classics. It's called Leaving Me by the Independents, taking us home. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
After all this time, you seem to me, girl, to be changing your mind. We don't talk no more like we used to do. What in the world has come over you?
Leaving me,
huh, baby?
Can't be.
Tell me, baby.
What you telling me?
I wanna know,
baby.
I heard somebody say,
"Leaving me
as you close that baby."
Baby, what you telling me?
I want you to go, baby.
Baby,
listen here. Lately I feel that you avoided my conversations. You would turn on the TV, but you would be an aggravation. I just don't know what I've done to you. But whatever it is, child, I hope one thing can't be true, and that is
leaving me.
Ooh, no,
can't be.
Telling
me,
ooh, yes,
baby.
Baby. Sometimes I'm on
leaving me.
Oh no,
can't be.
You don't know
what what you're telling me.
Don't know what it's doing to me, baby. Oh, no. Girl, if you only knew what was going through my mind, just stop fooling around with you. Give me all your time. The best years I've had, I spent them all with you. If you love me one day, I'll be through. I'm sick, babe. Somebody know I'm talking about out there.
Baby,
I know it's gonna be like in the long day. I'm gonna be here with the neighbors.
Ooh.
And you know how the neighbors talk. Old Tom over there, he wants you to leave me in the house. And old Mary down there, she don't know what she's talking about. She think I'm cutting up on you, baby.